It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Smoky Great Outdoors. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. This morning's show, I'm going to take you back to Yellowstone Park, 1988, and my recent trip there last week, 2026, and talk about the changes in the park and the after the incredible fires. And that was going to be the totality of my show today, because it takes the entire show to talk about the magnificence of Yellowstone. However, obviously, since I'm back from Yellowstone, I'm brought to the present day fires and the smoke we're all dealing with, and it's national news and international news. So I'm not going to talk about it except to offer this observation. These fires are natural, and they are not occurring in regions, as often happens in America, where they're a result of poor forest management on the part of the U.S. Forest Service, the BLM, and part of Interior, Department of Ag, or state forests, where politics are involved in the cutting of forests. There is over 16 million acres of fire in Canada. Put that in perspective. Yellowstone Park is just over 2 million acres. So when the entirety of Yellowstone burned in 1988, it was a 2 million acre fire. The fires in Canada are 8 times the fires of Yellowstone. So this is enormous. But what has not been talked about is this is occurring in an area completely unsettled, not likely in anyone's future to be settled. And it's not an area where we practice timber management, forestry management, because this is the boreal forest. This is the Great North, where trees grow 6 feet tall, and that's about as tall as they get. Maybe some get to 10, some get to 20, but this is not commercial timber grade. And the quality of the trees is poor quality. You have a lot of muskeg, you have a lot of brush, you have a lot of willows, and you also have a lot of diseased trees, which is part of what happens naturally and has happened over millennia. What's a little bit different is that this region of Canada has been under a really significant drought for an extended period of years. And that has enabled trees to be stressed and has caused trees to die because of the drought. And there also is this infestation of pine beetles to some extent, but that's not the cause of the fires. So while we'd love to say, Canada, clean it up, stop these, which is what we should be saying in America to the fires that we have, because they're not These huge apocalyptic fires are unnecessary in America, and we can manage them and we can stop them and we can manage our forests so we don't have million-acre fires in the United States anymore. In Canada, we Canadians can't do that, and we can't help them because this is an unsettled area, largely roadless area with timber of no quality. So there's no harvesting ability. You can't go in and selectively clear cut or cut fire lanes. By and large, that doesn't work. So we're going to have to live with this. And if there's 16 million acres under fire now, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of acres could actually in the coming years burn. But the number is in the hundreds of millions. The only thing that will stop these fires is the what change in the weather, for it to get wetter again, and for that to suppress fires. We can't control that. So it is interesting to me, and maybe to many of you, to watch the hysteria when Chicago, we had close to the worst air quality in the world on Thursday. Maybe we had the worst air quality in the world. Detroit had it the day before. Milwaukee, all-time record air quality. The whole beautiful North Woods is like a haze. And as a farm boy growing up in Illinois on our farm in the summer, the wind would turn out of the north, the air would clear. My father would say, smell that clear crisp northern Canadian air coming straight down. Well, that northern Canadian air that's coming straight down now is not clear and crisp and clean. It's some of the worst air quality, or the worst air quality in the world. And we talk about China and India and all these industrialized nations and all the coal they burn and all the pollutants they emit. Guess what? These fires are worse than that. These fires, as I talked about a few weeks ago at the Pacific Palisades fire, these fires that are occurring now are far worse than anything's coming out of the industrialized world in Asia. So the pollution is real. The air quality and exercising in it is a terrible idea. But I'm sorry to leave you this morning with this note before I take a break and come back and talk about Yellowstone. I'm sorry to leave you with this thought. We can't control this. And I was brought up to believe if you have a problem, don't bring a problem forward unless you also offer a solution. The solution is it needs to snow and rain across much of northern Canada. Hundreds of millions and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of acres need to get wet. And not just now. They need to get wet during the winter. And that's not happening because they're in a drought cycle. You could say that's climate change. It's not climate change. It's been doing this forever. Only now the drought cycle is worse and the temperatures are warmer and the diseased trees, which were not there before, are there now, the pine beetle in particular. All this put together has led us to this. The only solution is one that we don't control. It has to get wet. And if it doesn't get wet, what we're living with in Chicago and Milwaukee and across the entire eastern portion of the country is what the West has been living with for years because of forest fires in the Pacific Northwest, in the Rockies, and the terrible fires in Utah right now, etc. But those fires are largely preventable. We know how to do it. We just need to do it. These are not. I'll be back in just a moment. And when I do, I'm going to take you on a great voyage through Yellowstone National Park. I hope you'll enjoy it. A little bit of time warp. Stay with me. I'm going to take a brief break. In the meantime, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I won't say the smoky great outdoors because I did that and we talked about what's happening. I want to take you to Yellowstone National Park, one of our greatest treasures, one of the great treasures in the world. Preserved in the 1880s, if you can believe it or not. 1988, we had the fires of all fires when basically 2 million acres of Yellowstone burned, and it burned so hot in an inferno that it left the land in certain places just lifeless. It was so hot it left the land lifeless. I was there in 1989, and I saw a terrain of, as far as you could see, blackened earth, blackened trees, desolate. Here we are, 2026, and yes, I've been back to Yellowstone Park many times in between, but this past week I had an experience that really took me through time and the evolution of the forests and the fisheries and the animals, which I want to talk about for a minute. First of all, there are a lot more people in Yellowstone Park today than there were in the 1980s. Statistically, I think it's almost double, but it seems like it's even more than that because of the number of passengers in cars and the number of outfitters coming in with horse trailers. The pressure on Yellowstone and the traffic in Yellowstone, which was always something to be admired for how a single antelope standing in a field could bring an entire road to a stop for half an hour. Well, that hasn't changed at all. I can only tell you it's worse. There are pullouts to look at wildlife, but when you see an antelope, someone who's never seen an antelope, they stop their car in the middle of the road. There aren't shoulders to pull off. And the next thing you know, you got a mile backup of cars with everybody getting out. And I said to my much better half, who was in the car with me at one point, I said, what if we just stop the car and get out with our binoculars? I bet we could cause a mile-long traffic delay, even if we were just putting our binoculars in the air and looking out across the landscape. And I bet that's true. Of course, I didn't do that. But Yellowstone Park is our most favorite playground in America for us to go and see iconic wildlife and iconic settings. It is today, nearly 40 years after the fire, it's in great shape. You don't see dead timber. It's rejuvenated. It's alive. Areas that sat dead even for 15 years after the fire are now alive with grass and saplings. The pine forests are thick. It could be the healthiest forest in the American West. You don't have diseased trees because you don't have any old trees. It all comes back to how do we manage our aging forests because we let them get old. So Yellowstone is just this hub of tree life and grass. And interestingly, while it had been a very dry winter, it's been a very wet summer. They had snow in June, lots of rain. The wildflowers were spectacular. And here we were in the middle of July when usually the ground is just brown and there's nothing growing. And wildflowers everywhere. Some meadows were carpets of wildflowers. What you don't see in Yellowstone is you don't see the great herds of buffalo that were once there, and you don't see any elk. If you have been to Yellowstone pre-introduction of the wolves, you can recall going to all the areas where you can get a facility or you can get something to drink and the lodges, and the elk were just lying on the lawns. It was like going to a zoo. That's all gone. The wolves have eaten them all. The buffalo herds that just used to lie all over the place, they're gone too. Now we're down to small groups of buffalo. And by the way, I'm not going to talk about the individual that was thrown into the air by a charging buffalo while I was there and made national news. That individual really didn't do anything wrong. They were a safe distance from the buffalo. They didn't do anything to provoke the buffalo. The buffalo just came at them, and you all probably saw the ring around the posy, and then the outcome of him getting thrown in the air, speared by the buffalo. But one thing we do know, buffalo are highly unpredictable and they're very dangerous. And bears, well, there are a lot of bears. There are more bears in Yellowstone today than at any time in recorded history of the number of bears. Black bears, there are quite a few, but grizzly bears, they dominate. And I went back to a place that I had fished when I lived in Montana in the 1990s. I went back to a place in Yellowstone, way off the roads, an 8-mile, 10-mile hike. And I saw bears throughout my hike. Of course, I unfortunately saw a sow with a cub, which interrupted the planned hike that I had and down to a fishing stream. But I would say the park is incredibly healthy. The overabundance of elk is gone. The overabundance of buffalo is gone. It is no longer America's zoo. It is, in fact, a wild park. You'll see some animals if you're out early in the day or late in the day, but you're not going to see them as you used to, just laying all over the place. The wolves, as I said, have taken care of that. There's a lot going on with the fishery in the park, which I'm going to talk about next week. 2022, the park had the worst flooding that had ever been recorded. And it changed the course of many streams, and it wiped out longtime spawning beds. And there's some decision to be made over time. Do we need to come in and artificially reestablish fisheries because the habitat appears to have been so badly destroyed in certain streams, not all of them by any means, that there's very little production. And some of the most iconic streams in Yellowstone are not getting good fish reproduction right now, and that's a long-time concern. Before I end the show, and I got to end in just 10 seconds, they are definitely working on the invasive lake trout in Yellowstone Lake, and it is working. They are vastly reducing the population of lake trout in Yellowstone Lake, which is great because that's the world's greatest cutthroat spawning area and fishery. Next week, I will talk about my bear incident, the bear incident of 1998 and the bear incident of 2026. Funny how these things remain in your mind when you go eye to eye with a bear. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. Thanks so much for listening. WGN Radio, 720.